Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 7:21. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning, Dr. Carl. Welcome back. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard.
We've absolutely missed you. I believe that there was sudden snowfall in Sydney last night. What is with that?
Sudden snowfall. So we're having cold weather coming up, which affects both you and us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to find out about it, go to your computer. Mm-hmm. You have one nearby.
I do.
And type in Null Earth and see where that takes you. And you'll see a map of the winds around the Earth. I'm just going to type it in right now.
Wait, what's it?
N-U-L-L. Null Earth.
Right.
And here it is. It says Earth. A global map of wind weather. Can you see it? It says earth.nullschool.net. Can you see that map?
Yes.
Now, grab it in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and so tilt it upwards, and you can see Antarctica at the bottom, and mm-hmm. you can see South Africa pointing towards you, and South America and Australia. But in the middle of the map, you can now see Antarctica?
Yes.
Okay. Now, observe that there's winds going around Antarctica, and two things to observe. Firstly, the winds are traveling in a clockwise direction. Mm-hmm. And secondly, there's a bunch of cyclones down there.
I was just going to say, it looks very pretty, but probably doesn't feel so pretty.
Well, that circular wind going mm-hmm. around in a clockwise direction with half a dozen cyclones in it is called a rather silly name, SAM, Southern Annular Mode. I guess southern for South Pole, annular meaning ring, annulus, mode, I don't know why.
Mm.
When it contracts, the ring can get bigger or smaller. When it contracts, you have blizzards on the landmass of Antarctica. And a few years ago, I got trapped down there in a blizzard and had to stay there for an extra week. Mm. But when it expands, it can hit the bottom of Australia. And you can see some of the wind is coming up past Australia and on the east coast of Australia. And the cold air is coming up and we're getting a cold thing. I think with Africa, you guys are pretty okay at the moment. You don't have too much happening for you.
Mm.
You're fairly safe. You're not getting too, there's a bit of cold wind down the bottom right hand corner of Africa. Yes.
Yeah,
and some of it's kissing up against Madagascar as well.
Absolutely fascinating. All right. Tell us about brain freeze. I would imagine it's got nothing to do with the weather.
It has to do with the cooling down, we think, of the blood vessels feeding the brain. So, on one hand, we did talk about how we'd recently discovered that the brain has got this incredibly wide variation in temperature, 5 degrees when you're healthy and 10 degrees when you're not. But in general, your body tries to keep your brain at a moderately constant temperature. And when you have a very cold ice cream, this is now the current hypothesis, this is in your throat and near your throat, are two arteries going up into your brain, the internal carotid arteries on the right and left, and they get cooled down by the ice cream. And so you've got cool blood going into the brain. And so to compensate, the brain then tries to get more warm blood coming in up the vertebral artery. That's the third artery. And this causes a bit of an expansion inside the skull. And then this puts pressure on the meninges, which then gives you the classic brain freeze. And to back this theory up, we have seen when people do get brain freeze that there's an increased volume of blood going into the brain. Very nice theory, but it doesn't explain why some people have the brain freeze happening in the middle of their shoulder blades. That doesn't make sense. So this is yet another case where we've got a few nice little hypotheses or guesses. There's still a lot that we don't know.
So can brain freeze be dangerous?
If it happens when you're driving a motor vehicle or an aeroplane, it could stop you from concentrating. I guess that would be one bad thing it could do. But in general, it's just sort of overwhelmingly just annoying, like hiccups, not fatal, just annoying.
Okay. So that is good to know. And the other thing that we wanted to understand is why scratching feels so good. It's almost like it's very satisfying.
Well, it turns out that in the human body, there are two systems, pain and itch, that firstly, not that well understood, but secondly, seem to operate on a seesaw. When one goes up, the other one goes down. And so traditionally, when people in hospital are given opiates for pain relief, like they've broken a leg or something like that. On one hand, the pain goes away, but they're left with this sort of itchy feeling and they start scratching themselves.
Interesting.
And so if you, and then secondly, we've got a thing called the gate theory, which is that if you get one stimulus going to the brain, it blocks another stimulus. So suppose you've got some sort of itch. Well, you make the itch go away by giving yourself a bit of pain. You know, so that's a seesaw, one up, one down. And so then that overrides the itch and that sort of fills the pathway, the gate into the brain. It's a fairly rubbishy sort of theory, but it's kind of the best we've got at the moment.
Incredible. It's amazing how sometimes, as much as we know, there's still so much more to learn. It's just phenomenal.
I love that bit about the universe, that there's always so much more. Yeah. The more we know, the more our boundary of what we don't know increases in size.
Absolutely. Well, here's one that that I always hear discussed. Could you survive on a desert island by drinking your own urine?
No, because what it would do would bring you closer to your own death. So the best thing to do if you are short of water is to go on a water fast for half a day or so, and that forces your kidneys into a so-called water-conserving mode.
Ah.
Drinking your own urine actually brings you closer to death because you're bringing extra salt that you don't need into your body. What would be far better would be to leave it out in the sun under a little plastic bag and work out a little evaporating kit so that the water evaporates, leaving the salt behind. And then drink the salt. Oh, sorry, drink the water. But by adding extra salt, you bring yourself closer to death.
Right.
Faster.
And final question, why do chilies burn even though they are cold?
There's a chemical in them called capsaicin, C-A-P-S-A-I-C-I-N. And the reason they burn is due to a coincidence. Yep, lots of things are due to coincidences. In your tongue, you've got receptors for, besides hot and cold, besides sweet and sour and salt and bitter and umami, you've also got receptors for heat. For some unknown reason, these are called VR1 receptors, as in vanilloid-1 receptors. By an amazing coincidence, the active chemical in chilies, called capsaicin, will make these fire.
Wow.
So if you put the chili on your tongue, in addition to getting all of the taste stuff, you're also activating the heat receptors. So you don't just get pure heat, you get pure heat plus all these other tastes associated with the chili. So it's a coincidence. And menthol works the other way to activate the cold receptors.
Absolutely fantastic. Dr. Carl, it is absolutely awesome to have you back, and thank you for all of that knowledge.